It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Monday, happy Veterans Day, and oh yeah, it's a victory Monday here on Overtime as we're clocking in live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio, Tanner Carson, Malcolm Harris, Justin Feist on the ones and twos, and we have Matt King in here as well doing some quality control. Guys, Tennessee does the usual. They take care of the Cats. Tennessee goes up to hostile Kroger Field. Oh, they made a grocery run, okay? But they didn't pay for the groceries. We didn't fill up one cart, not two carts. We filled up about three whole carts of not the generic, not the store brand. We got the name brand, okay? We got the finest ribeyes out of the meat department. We got all the Truly they could handle, and all the Truly they could stock as well to make sure we were well lubricated as well. And we just walked right out the front door. We walked right out the door of Kroger, smiling
with groceries
the whole way through. Grocery trip completed. Tennessee 17, Kentucky 13. Whoo, makes it what, 33 out of the last 35 against Kentucky?
That's correct, sir.
That is correct. Oh, they thought they had us in the first half, didn't they? It has in the first half.
Not going to lie.
Not going to lie about that. Not going to lie about that. And then we're going to get into it, obviously, about this specific thing, but I'll go ahead and say it. Tennessee defense for the last month in second halves.
Adjustment.
Standing ovation. Standing ovation, if I could, if it was appropriate for me to stand up above my microphone right now.
Yes, sir.
But, man, it's just... Guys! It's three in a row. It's four out of the last five. What is this Tennessee team? What is this Tennessee team? Initial reaction, who wants to go first here? I'm feeling good right now. Justin.
Okay, well, nose goes. You nose goes to a guy that didn't even watch the game.
I didn't. Oh, you
I didn't
were
get out
work.
Of Brian right. Denny until 10 o'clock that, Central Time.
That so. Is true, Justin. You want to tell us about what you did this weekend?
Yeah. Do you want to save it for when we're at top of hour two when we talk
you can,
LSU?
You can go more in the detail then, but you can just do like Cliff Notes version of what you did.
So I was on the CBS crew working utility for. The broadcasting crew for that CBS LSU versus Alabama game, and it was my first trip to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Got to learn about Alabama fans up close and personal. I don't like them. I liked the stadium itself, but I have complaints about Alabama fans in general. But everyone left sad, so it was great to be there.
So mission accomplished.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Yeah, we'll get into more of your trip and. Hour two a little bit. So, Matt, I guess I'm just going to default to you. Did you make the trip to Lexington?
No, I do not bleed big blue. So, I guess I am wearing a blue jacket right now.
Yeah, that's ironically, pretty... wearing a blue windbreaker right now.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get rain on when we get out of the studio.
That's
so
fair. That's fair.
But, yeah, no, I watched the game on TV. I felt like it was probably going to be really cold in the Commonwealth. I wasn't trying to. but... I was really impressed with Tennessee's defense. It was a really rough start. Kentucky goes and scores two possessions in a row, and I was thinking, oh, boy. It looked like Tennessee's injuries and Kentucky's week off, it looked like that was going to be the death of Tennessee football season. But they battled back. They made some great adjustments to defending the option run game with Lynn Bowden. And just an impressive day from the defense. I would like to give a special shout-out to Jarrett Garantano. Lou Williams, sixth man of the year, coming off the bench looking like LeBron James. So
he's going to help us win football games this year yet.
And he and Pruitt was right. Also, shout out to Marquez Callaway. He mossed like four Kentucky defenders. So
shout out to Josh Palmer, too.
That was insane.
Talking receivers, because he gets the what ends up being the game-winning touchdown reception, you know, right after he had a touchdown taken off the board for his knee being down. He comes down with an incredible toe tap. Obviously, wouldn't have been good on Sundays, but it's okay. You only need that 1 foot in college. You only need that 1 foot in college. And he did that. Great clutch plays by Tennessee's receivers, but Matt, I think outside of the defense, you already mentioned it. Got to give props to JG. You have to give all the props in the world. And there's one thing we like as a society, like an American society. It's the redemption story, right? Guys, I'm pretty sure right now, in case something, you know, drastically wrong happens, knock on wood a little bit right there, in case something wrong happens, I think we're seeing right in the middle of this JG redemption story. I don't know exactly how it's going to end, but the whole career aside for a second, I'm thinking about this season in general, how it started, him being the starting quarterback for a very bad start to the season. You start out 1-4, and then, as you referred to it, though, Matt, the sixth man, as JG referred to himself, the Lou Williams, it's just worked for him. It's just clicked for him. Brian Maurer plays the first half. He recovers on a drive or two, started to look a little bit more in rhythm, but he did finish the first half 7-16, 98 yards. Pruitt immediately, it's all enough. He wanted to give JG a shot in the second half, and then, well, that Tennessee offense clicked and then some. Two scoring drives. JG goes 7-8, 115 yards and two touchdowns off the bench there in the second half. Ends up being your leading rusher on the night, too.
Dual threat.
What would you all have told me if I would have told you on Friday that I would have told you to score or anything? But I would have said that by the end of the game, Jarrett Garantano is going to be your leading rusher.
I would have said ease up off the truly, man.
But he was.
He was indeed.
30 yards and, you know, not a lot, 30 yards, but the yards that he did pick up, oh, they were precious yards.
Important.
I need to give a shout out to Tim Jordan, by the way, for on the 3rd and 10, laying the absolute wood.
Yeah.
On that Kentucky defender.
Sealed it off completely just to slip right in there for the first, but.
And then, of course, the game-sealing first down run on that 3rd and 4.
Yeah.
You come out, Chaney looks like he's calling to play action. Do y'all believe he was looking for a receiver? Did you think that was probably like a design, like roll out, waste time, get a first down? I think
that's a design run. You get to the boundary at any cost.
So I watched it again, and there's two Tennessee players who kind of run out from the formation. So I think it was kind of a have fake receivers and run it. Either that, or maybe they really were trying to, and Kentucky was just holding them, and the idea is either try to check down or just run it. I have no clue, though.
Well, whatever happened, he got the first down. He sealed it. And going back to defense, though, this comes right after, the goal line stand. Man, Tennessee pulling off goal line stands as a defense to seal games, they're few and far between. This is the first one since Georgia Tech in 2017. Then before that, I'm sure I can think of one if I really do think for a little bit. But
South Alabama.
That's
the last one I can think of.
That's probably why I'm not thinking of it right now. But in big games, though, and this was a huge game.
Huge.
For how your season has been transpiring, for bowl eligibility dreams, all of that stuff. Man, and the way that you've been getting torched for a lot of that night now, again, to give credit where credit is due, after Kentucky goes up 13-0, obviously you shut them out the rest of the way. But the thing is, though, that Bowden-led offense, which was, Matt, as you referred to it, the commentators were calling it kind of like a modern version of a triple option. They're running it out of the shotgun, running it out of the pistol. Triple option looks all the time, inside zone reads all the time. They were having a lot of success with it. and they would still get yards on you sometimes for 20-something chunks at a time. I mean, not only Bowden, but three different running backs. Good Lord, Rodriguez, Smoke, and Rose.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I would like a running back with the last name Smoke. I think that's pretty cool.
Nah, it was kind of cool.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
He wants all the smoke.
Oh, he got the smoke.
He
got the smoke in the form of the Tennessee defense. So even though Kentucky was still getting chunks of yardage,
mm-hmm.
the defense kind of went to bend, not break.
Yeah.
Oh, and they did not break. They did not break. In the second half, correct me if I'm wrong, you turned Kentucky over on downs three times.
That is correct.
You didn't break. You absolutely did not break whatsoever. And, man, after we fumble and they get that ball back and then they start getting chunks of yards again, start getting closer and closer to the goal line, I was thinking, okay, this is it. Of course, we are going to contain them for three quarters, but at the very end, we're going to give up something. But you know what happened? Not only did the defense still not give up, and they what's the term I'm looking for? They kind of
persevered, stood tall.
They stood tall.
There you go.
I'm looking for something like that. Not only did they stand tall and play great, disciplined assignment football. Malcolm Nodge Warrior.
I was literally
talking about assignment football.
I was going to say that is the MVP of this game. I know Batuli got all the accolades. JG, no. Nigel Warrior saved this game for Tennessee because in 2018, that is a Kentucky victory.
That is a Kentucky victory, not only because of obviously his interception, which I cannot believe. It was like the sea of bodies. It parts for 1 second so the refs can see that he had half his shoe out.
Which. In live time, did it look like he stepped out? Absolutely not.
But you saw the replay. He was clearly out.
He was clearly out. But I was salty.
He has a clutch interception. And again, Bowden only throws it seven times. But what were we talking about all week last week? If you make them throw it in situations, you can capitalize off it.
And they did.
That was obviously huge. But Malcolm, talking about Warrior, though, interception's great, obviously. He's tied for the lead in the conference, by the way, with four. He's tied with, like, three other guys.
That's crazy.
So just to talk about your boys some more.
Listen, man.
Because I know you've been all in all year.
Been all in on him. And I have seen this in live time from him literally not being an NFL drafted player to I think he might go in the fourth or third round if he continues to play like
he's played himself into easily, not only with his interceptions, but – again, the main point I'm trying to get to is, though, keeps on his assignment on that option play. He stays on the pitch man, which makes Bowden panic and just he has to decide to take it himself.
Because if he would have got inside in on Bowden, pitched out, that's easy.
TD. That's easy.
But he stayed disciplined, and I cannot say enough good things about Nigel. It was fantastic
football. He takes away the pitch man. Bowden tries to have to do hero ball himself. He runs right into Jaquan Blakely, and Mr. Daniel Batuli.
Yeah. Blakely with the stop, Batuli with the finish, and if it weren't for Nigel, man, it wouldn't happen. So kudos to all three of them.
Did y'all know the defensive line on that last play, who was out there? That's very interesting that you J-Y-D. Had those players out there. You had the Junkyard Dog out there, so you have Simmons out there. Mm. You have Blakely, obviously. You have a lot of guys that haven't played like a lot this season, obviously. Again, I think it's because you kind of wanted your freshest people out there just because you probably needed the most energy collectively of your unit to get pushes like you needed to. But again, man, it was just any other front 70, any other defensive line going up against an offense like that could have easily confused you, could have easily walked into the end zone in a clutch situation like that, they stand tall and then some. I mean, damn. Jeremy Pruitt defense. We've been waiting to see it.
It's here now.
That is here as far as execution goes.
It's here now.
Now, you just keep adding talent onto that, it's only going to get more consistent.
It's going to get scary, man.
But, guys, defense after the first quarter, one of my biggest takeaways, because I don't think that game could have started out worse for you.
No.
I really don't think it could have started out worse. And I even tweeted. I tweeted here in the middle of the game. I said, what a disaster. I thought this was going to be complete disaster. Kentucky took advantage of their bye week. We were just coming up there not entirely prepared. We can't execute. They're taking advantage of it because again, man, they had the ball over half the start of the first quarter on that first drive. That was so frustrating. But again, that's what happens when you can't stop the run right there. You go three and out. And not only do you go three and out, damn, Paxton Brooks can't get his hands on the ball.
What was that?
Very bad decision to punt it how he did.
Like, he looked up at it, stopped, and then it was like, hey, I'm going to kick it again.
He punted right into his chest.
Gosh, got to be better.
Kentucky executes after that. But then after that, I mean, you didn't give them anything. You hardly gave them anything.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of that goes for halftime adjustments. They really just were more disciplined in the second half. I think that's about what it all can boil down to. Before we hit this first break here, Matt, do you want to add anything else here? Defense, JG, because we'll be talking JG next segment, awesome. Especially.
Awesome.
I really like we've touched on it a million times. I really like what this defense has done this season. I really hate some decisions that were made on the offense this week. But one thing that's kind of concerned me, and we can go into it later, is what happened to Tennessee's punting game? What happened to Tennessee's special teams game? Brent Smaglia is automatic as ever, but everything else is just weirdly off.
You have good returning, I think, obviously, with Callaway having touchdowns.
But they never return it, though. Like, they're always just fair catching it. When they could, like, take that out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have seen that. I have seen that, especially from Eric Gray.
The most concerning thing is just, like, your punter in general. I don't know what Joe Doyle has done to piss off the coaching staff. I really don't, because Paxton Brooks, man, on kickoffs, you're fantastic. No one's ever going to return a kick on us. Paxton Brooks will knock that out of the end zone all the time. Great. Keep kicking the ball off. I need Joe Doyle back in the punt.
What has Joe Doyle done?
He hasn't had the best season. He did shank one against Georgia. He didn't have a good punt against Georgia.
But to be pulled like that?
And I think after that, they've just stuck with Brooks because he's been consistent, I guess. But he's not been anything great.
No, sir, I need
but I'm not going to be nitpicky, though, about the punting. But that is something that I hope doesn't bite us. Because it did bite us early on against Kentucky. Thankfully, it ended up not mattering. Oh, thankfully.
Yeah.
But switching over talking JG when we come back here. The sixth man. The Lou Will.
Lou Will.
According to himself on his Twitter, Chubbs with the hand, with the fake hand. It's doing the job right here. We're going to open up the phone lines as well. We will open up the Next Door Home Group hotline. So you can call in, weigh in on your thoughts on the game. It's 865-546-8200 to call in, 546-8200. I also want to tell you that after we get off the air tonight at 8 o'clock, we will have Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football, FM 105.7 and AM 1340. That's brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio. Hitting this first break, taught JG on the other side. We will be with you until 8 o'clock. You are listening to Overtime. Back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, I mentioned it earlier in the first segment, but how about this, by the way? The third week in a row, Tennessee has an SEC Defensive Player of the Week, either unanimous or co-player of the week. Three in a row, a little three-peat.
When is the last time that has happened?
Football Account tweeted something, so we've had three players in a season before. Recently, it's 2016.
Okay.
I would assume Derek Barnett was most of those, if not all of them.
Okay.
But I'm trying to see if we've had a three in a row here sometime. Let me try to find it. While I do try to find it, though, Daniel Batuli, SEC Defensive Player of the Week, unanimous 19 tackles, including on Bowden with Blakely at the goal line.
19 tackles. Do y'all know how hard that is to do?
Very hard.
Like, that doesn't that doesn't happen.
I will say, when you're playing a team that only passed it seven times, those opportunities present themselves more.
Yeah.
But does anybody take advantage of those opportunities more than Daniel Batuli does?
Oh,
man, think back to Georgia Tech when he had 23. He's insane. He's all over the place. We really could have used him the first 2 weeks of the season.
Oh, he would have been a game changer. Literally, him and Bryce show just exactly how, you know, there's pieces missing the first 2 weeks, but can't cry over spilled milk.
This is the first time in program history you've had three straight Defensive Player of the Week honors. This is the fourth time that Tennessee has won SEC Defensive Player of the Week three times in the same season. I mentioned 2016. Before that, it was 2004 and then 1998. Mm. Feels like 98, Malcolm. Yeah, but shout to Betulli, man. Shout out to Betulli. And also, for, again, this season, Justin, I need my sound drop ready. You're now 2-0 in them orange britches.
Them orange britches. Something about them orange britches.
My heart.
Be still, my heart. Did they look yellow to you on the TV broadcast?
They looked very mustardy.
Was that more of the camera angle or the lights? Because I know those pants aren't that bright.
They're not that bright. I think it was more so the lights and the cameras didn't really know how to adjust. Because the orange on orange doesn't even look that bright, you know?
No, it doesn't.
So I'm definitely think it was more so lighting than it was uniform pant.
Yeah, I'm definitely blaming everything else.
Because you're right. They did look yellow at times.
It made me think of, remember the middle of the Adidas contract? And I'm talking about Dooley era.
Give me the year. So like 11?
The most egregious year was 11. There was a time, and I'm pretty sure they were the road uniforms. There was one game, they had us having three different shades of orange at once. The helmet was different. The numbers were like darker orange. Yeah. And then your pants were mustard.
Is that what Tennessee spelled out across the jersey?
That's 2013 and 14.
Yuck. Yuck.
Those weren't good either, but I think they finally got the shade of orange right by that year. But yeah, it was like 2010, 2011. It was awful. It was yellow. It was pure yellow.
It was. I remember the Justin Hunter, Tyler Bray. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Like you can just see them playing at Memphis under the lights, and us just looking like yellow and white. Yeah. Looking like the Steelers or something like that.
I remember.
Looking like App State looked against South Carolina. I know we're talking college football later, but y'all have saw the way that game ended, right?
I'd be sick to my stomach, fellas. If a Tennessee game ended, I mean, that right there is.
Does that not make you think of a way a Tennessee game would end, though?
That's my deepest fear. What the South Carolina fans are going through, especially this previous weekend with the way that ended, I would be in a ditch somewhere.
If nobody has seen it yet, you all need to, you all at home listening, or on the road, be careful if you're driving, by the way. I'd just like to look out for you. But if you have not seen this yet, you need to see the way that South Carolina lost to App State. So they lost 20-15 to App State. And App State's a good team, but not a good look for South Carolina, though. And I know fans aren't happy about it. Especially since you're down 5, you're at like, what? This was near to 30, I think? Mm-hmm. I'll have to look at the field position. But Ryan Helinski has all day to throw. He uncorks one. He uncorked it just a little bit too much. When I tell you that their best receiver, by the way, they had their best receiver, this uncovered, Brian Edwards, had nobody in the area code around him at the right side of the end zone. Yeah. There was nobody around him.
Nobody.
And Ryan Helinski overthrows this into the second row. And all you see is Brian Edwards try to like dive out just to try to get in bounds. He misses the ball by a mile, and he goes right into the hedges. I mean, he goes right into the shrubbery, and you don't see him again.
I would be so mad.
I would be sick.
I would be beside myself.
I'd be so sick. But, man, are you about to say something, Matt?
It just reminded me of him disappearing is like going into a painting in Mario 64.
You bring back the real throwbacks, man. I do appreciate it.
I'm all about those.
Character, man.
All about it here, though. But yeah, man. Say we talk about JG, and let's talk about him for a little bit here.
Yeah.
So, question to you guys: bye week here? Obviously, man, what a great time to have a bye week.
Oh, the best time.
You've been obviously getting really beat up the last few weeks, but you're riding to it on this high right now. You get to sit back and watch Mizzou beat themselves up, which they're getting beat up. They got shut out by Georgia.
You love to see it.
They didn't have Kelly Bryant, obviously, but they still got shut out by Georgia. Yeah. They've been looking like hot garbage is what they've been looking like. So with this time to reflect right here, less than 2 weeks out from the next time Tennessee plays football. With Jarrett Garantano having his great performances coming off the bench in relief of either Brian Maurer or JT Shrout, has he earned the starting spot back for Mizzou? What do y'all think?
Yeah. Yeah. I was out on it, man, because Alabama made me so hot to the point I couldn't function.
You're not the only one.
Couldn't function.
Which is crazy how much of a change this has been.
I saw tweets that said JG wasn't safe on campus. And so, yeah, this is a quick turnaround. And I hope everyone that was way, way out to a crazy point against JG is a little ashamed of themselves. That's all I'm going to say.
No, it's rightfully so. I told you that I looked at his Twitter, like, searched his name. Oh. Y'all go do that, man, and put, like, a profanity word next to it.
Listen, I was out as hell on him. I've never been out to the point where I would be tweeting at the dude.
Boy, they talking mad disrespectful on there. Bad. But, yeah, I think he deserves it. I do.
What say you guys?
I think he's been playing better off of the bench this season, so I could see how some people could still make the argument that you could still start Maurer or Shrout. But I think this bye week is perfect to try to get him more accustomed to the offense. If you make the reps about him, if you get him built into the offense, you get him more used to handing the ball off to the other side so they don't fumble it. Yikes. He could be the starter.
Yeah, if there's a week to do it, I guess it's now. There's only, you know, two games left, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it this game. But I do – I mean, personally, I like his performances better off the bench. But Maurer didn't look, you know, amazing. That's why JG got in the game on Saturday. So I have no problem with him being the starter. I just hope it doesn't mess up his own personal mojo because – I mean, that's one of those, like, intangible, like, weird things that, like, can kind of, you know, affect your performance subconsciously.
That's real.
See, so that's what I'm trying to think of, too. What if JG doesn't want to start? What if he still wants to do the coming off the bench role because that's just what he's mentally comfortable with now?
I don't think that thought is – I mean, he's a competitor, and I don't think that anyone will say, I want to come off the bench. But that thought is probably there, like, oh, well, I have been better off of the bench. So he'll take whatever, you know, starting. Obviously, you want to be the best guy there and the best guy starts, so you want to be that guy. But it's definitely like everyone's probably sitting around saying it is kind of funny. You know, we'll see what we're going to do with him.
I'll rephrase it a little bit. Maybe he might be thinking it's less of, oh, I don't want to be the starter, but it's more of I want to help my team better this way. Because another thing I've noticed, too, not only his improved play coming off the bench, have you seen the way his teammates have embraced him, like post-Kentucky?
Everybody.
There's no way in hell that would have been happening less than a month ago after Alabama. There's no way.
Everybody is embracing this man, which is crazy. Because a month ago, you're right. It wouldn't. I'm just concerned, like, Brian, I thought was going to light it up on Saturday, personally. I thought he was going to have 3-4 TDs. Let me down, to be real.
Yeah, I mean, I won't say he played terrible, but he did play bad enough to where Pruitt obviously thought, okay, we're going to have a better shot winning if you just put JG in right now.
Does Pruitt have a shorter leash with Brian than anybody else in that quarterback room, you think?
Shrout, yeah, like that was very evident, but the leash on Maurer is not long, though.
Yeah.
It's certainly not long. I will say this before we hit the spray too. I think with Maurer, the talent is clearly there, and I think he could definitely. We'll see what shakes out over next offseason. He's got the potential to be the quarterback for your next couple seasons. He clearly does, and I think the team does like him. I think the offense does really work well with him in.
Yeah.
Doesn't he kind of remind you guys in some way? I know they're different quarterbacks. Think about true freshman Josh Dobbs. And think about all that he had to work on. And it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about him from true freshman to his senior season.
Oh.
And how much that improved. Again, I'm not saying he's Dobbs, but I'm saying maybe at least from the passing standpoint, I can see some similarities. Maybe he's just another guy who just needs time. He is 18 years old.
No. True freshman as well.
Very true freshman right there, man. So. But we're going to hit another break, and when we come back, oh, I'm so ready for this. I haven't done it in a while. and I haven't done a whole lot here. But usually, if y'all don't remember months ago, y'all listening. After a win I feel good about, a good conference win, I like to go onto Twitter.com, a very sane place. I like to look up some angry and sad opposing fan base tweets. And when it comes to Kentucky, oh, let me tell you, you can mine some salty tweets like you can mine some coal up in the hills. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all want to read some tweets when we come back?
Oh, let's do it.
Let's read some mad Kentucky fan tweets on the other side. Again, if you would like to call in the Next Door Home Group hotline, give your thoughts on Tennessee's win over Kentucky, just call 865-546-8200. That's 546-8200. Mad Kentucky fan tweets when we come back. Oh, this is a good time. This is about to be a really good time. Welcome back into Overtime. Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio here. Let's just go ahead and get the Truly out of the way. Malcolm, tap that. Tap the beautiful sign, Matt. Tap that beautiful sign. Oh! Pick you up, Truly, this week. If you're... Oh, did I about knock down your mic? I think I did.
But I'm back.
Nice little save right there.
But I'm back.
Spider-Man reflex.
Hands on deck like I'm Juwan, man, because I'm a dog.
I promise I haven't been into any Truly when that just happened, right?
No, you're
there.
Good. You're
but picking up Truly this week, there is going to be a flavor for you. They have 13 varieties to choose from. Tropical pack, citrus pack, wild berry, and always the rosé as well, fellas. 100 calories in a 12-ounce can. Less than 1 gram of sugar. Less than 2 carbs. You can dinch. You can bench. Wow. I tried to say like ditch and bench at the same time. You can dinch. Bench the beer belly bloat. Put some Truly in your drinking rotation. Drink what you truly want. Oh, I've got the tweets. I've got some tweets. We're all going to read at least one here. I got some more on deck here as well. If you missed it last segment, I try to do this when I can. If there's ever a big conference win over the weekend that, it makes me feel really good. I'm always going to look up some salty tweets from anonymous fans. Opposing fan bases. You hardly find better ones than from Big Blue Nation. That's all I'm going to say. So without further ado, Justin, hit the music when you're ready. This is Mad, Sad, Salty Kentucky Fan Tweets.
In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky.
Fade it down a little bit right there, Justin. First one here. I want y'all just to guess who sent this. Hadn't been on Twitter all day until now. I see Tennessee fans are gleeful and filling my timeline with trash talk. I will say once again, the fact that you gloat about beating Kentucky is further proof that this isn't and won't be again your father's Tennessee. Now, who sent that?
I know, so I'm not going to say.
Does anyone have a guess who sent that?
Dan Wolkin?
Uh-uh. Justin, you got a guess?
I don't know. Matt Jones.
Ding, 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 ding. Old Kentucky Sports Radio, huh?
Really? I didn't see that one.
Yep, Matt Jones sent it. Oh. Matt Jones had... He had a good amount. Does anyone want to go next, though? Before I look up some more.
I'll go ahead, man. Also, Rocky Top has to be in the top 3 worst songs of all time. Makes me cringe. I also hate Tennessee Orange. How did that even come into existence?
I mean, literally the flowers that grew on the side of the hill on the campus. It's nature. It's nature, Wildcat fan. I'm sorry you don't have a lot of it up there. Sorry about that. Matt, do you have one you want to read?
Sure. I'm going to read it as a Kentucky fan, if that's okay with you.
Let's hear it. Now, read this to me as a member of Big Blue Nation.
This loss to Tennessee is getting to me. I hate Tennessee. I just can't even. Hello, bourbon. All night.
That was great.
I hope he accidentally consumed some Tennessee whiskey.
Ooh.
This loss brought to you by George Dickel, Jack Daniels, Chattanooga Whiskey, all the fine distilleries across this state. Justin, you have one you want to read?
My daughter asked me tonight if I hated anybody. I said no, but I have to say, I hate Tennessee.
Wow. They really got us there.
Yeah, really got it. Oh, man. I tell you what, I'll give a shout-out to young Philip Fulmer for retweeting a bunch of these people. Now, a lot of these tweets are simply just either I hate Tennessee or bleep Tennessee. But I'm trying to find some good ones here. Does anyone else have one that they've been just dying to read? Because if you don't, I'm going to get through some of these right here.
It's all you, brother.
Anything? Okay.
It's all you.
Here's one. I hate seeing Kentucky. Let me fix it. Mind. I hate seeing Kentucky lose to Tennessee to the bleepy tennis. Substitute for crappy Tennessee team after crappy Tennessee team. You know, that's why they're so mad.
Why?
I've never understood why they were like so mad about for the longest time. But it really is the fact that we've been bad for a while, and they have two wins in that span. One of the wins, the team threw.
Yeah.
The team threw the game in 2011. That's self-admitted from players who were on the team. And then the next time, we had already fired our head coach, basically.
Yeah, he was done. Walk in they trap, take over they trap.
Like I said, man, we stole the groceries. We shoplifted. We shoplifted. Man, there's a lot that just I hate Tennessee. How about this one here? I have now wasted my entire day. I hate Tennessee so much. This sucks. Oh, it does suck. Let's go back to Matt Jones. Man, it's been a rough week for him. Gets kicked off the air. He has to see another loss to Tennessee. Matt Jones is almost middle-aged, man. He's seen a lot of losses to us. You'd think he'd be numb to it by now.
Yeah.
You'd really think he'd be numb to it right now. Let's see. He said, with that said, congrats to the Vols. You guys own us in football, no doubt. Happy for you guys that you will finally again reach bowl eligibility.
In Kentucky's best team ever, which was last year.
Blasted.
Come on, man. What do we have to talk about?
That they honored on the field Saturday, by the way.
No, they did not.
With the Citrus Bowl trophy? Oh, they sure did.
They had Josh Allen in attendance for the game.
Man, Cole Kubelik, which I respect from SEC Network, he talked to Josh Allen for far too long.
It was 45 minutes, was it not?
It felt like it. We went 3-and-out our first possession. He was talking to him through the first two plays.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. You're the second best Josh Allen in the NFL right now. Your opinion does not matter that much to me. You have one win against Tennessee. I don't care.
And didn't sack JG last year.
Oh, no, he did.
He did. He had one.
He had one?
He did have one.
But only one, surprisingly.
But you know who had four? Daryl Taylor. Do you know he leads the conference in sacks right now?
Are you serious?
He's got seven.
So he'll be taking what, round two, three?
He's second day pick for sure.
Second day pick?
He's got to be.
Oh.
He's been playing too consistent. Man, Matt Jones timeline, so ooh, much.
I have another Matt Jones one.
Let's hear it.
This is during the game. Jeremy Pruitt is the worst. Your dude goes helmet to helmet, and then you're mad Bowden doesn't sit out a play. Lame.
I think that's lame of him.
I think you're lame, Matthew. Not this Matthew.
I know you.
You got to sit out a play, man. That's just a known rule in college football. If your helmet comes off, you sit out a play. His helmet came off, you sit out a play. He tried to pull a fast one.
I love how I know another common theme I saw from just random mad Kentucky fans. Of course, as they usually do, this tells you that last year in football didn't mean that much to them in the grand scheme of things, because you know what they're doing again. Oh, just wait till basketball. We got the number one ranked team this week. Oh, Tennessee's going to be trash. What are they going to do when they lose in TBA again? I will say if, because I know they have a good team. But I'm just saying.
Rick Barnes owns John Calipari in Knoxville.
You don't walk into the Deacon's Chapel, Kentucky,
without getting baptized.
You're going to get baptized again for the fifth year in a row.
It's just what it is at this point. It is. Tennessee does very well against Kentucky.
In what sport?
I said it just all like that. All of them, man. I mean, it's just what it is at this point.
Poor Kentucky.
I know.
Poor Kentucky here. About to hit another break. Before we do, oh, love reading those right here. This segment's been brought to you by Eli Corum in the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams Realty. No gimmicks, just results. Eli Corum's group's been rated in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. They are very straightforward to get the job done with money left in your pocket. They leave you with a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Eli Corum has a top-notch team of the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry and negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market. To give them a call, it's 865-233-9461. That's 233-9461. Or you can browse all their listings and find out everything about the Next Door Home Group at nextdoorhomes.com. Proud sponsor of the Next Door phone lines here, which you can reach by calling 865-546-8200. That's 546-8200. Back to wrap up hour one of overtime when we come back. We're back to wrap up hour one of overtime on this Victory Monday. Whew. Coming in with, I'm a boss, Rick Ross here. Speaking of a boss, this is like a two-prong thing. Juwan Jennings is a boss. We already know that. The power of all Twitter, though.
It's crazy.
The official football account taking notice of this. So, earlier today, it was officially announced that the dog himself, Juwan Jennings, he was one of the wide receivers named to the Biletnikoff Award watch list, which, of course, goes to the best wide receiver in college football every season. And the entire award is not determined by a fan vote, but I think the fan vote plays like a small percentage in it. So they have their watch list, which had a lot more people on it than I thought would have on it. But Juwan's on there. You can vote multiple times, though. I think you can vote an unlimited amount of times, I'm pretty sure.
Vol Nation, go ahead and crash the site for our boy.
And let me tell you, so this is seven minutes ago from Vol Football on Twitter. It only took 8 hours for hashtag Vol Twitter to propel Juwan Jennings to the top of the Biletnikoff Award fan vote. Round of applause, hashtag powered by the T. You have one of Vol Twitter's own G-Man drops the link back in the replies. Matt, you tried to click on the link and you found out something. Tell us what has happened to the Biletnikoff Award site.
It crashed. They couldn't handle the Vol Twitter. It is back now, though. I gave another 3 votes as it had just make that 4.
I still can't load it, so
it wasn't loaded for me either.
404 service error.
But we're working like heck.
We are. No, we definitely are. You love to see it.
Yeah, you do.
You really love to see it there. Man, that's a long shot for him to get invited to New York. I still think we're going to get Britt Semakli invited for that Lou Groza Award. He's going to get competition from Rodrigo, though. Rodrigo hit...
He missed a kick yesterday, or on Saturday.
Oh, missed one? He missed a kick. I only saw he hit 4 field goals because he was a special teams player of the week again.
Get him out of here.
So man. He still missed one.
Huh. Yeah, he still missed one.
You know who's not missing a whole lot? Britt Semakli.
Otto
Maclia. You know who didn't miss a potential... it wasn't a game-winning kick, but you know who didn't lose to South Carolina on a kick, on a missed field goal? Britt Semakli.
Otto.
That's all I'm going to say. That's really all I'm going to say right there, though. Oh. Y'all see any bowl predictions?
Man, I'm looking right now.
What you got?
All right, so ESPN, 247, Sporting News, and CBS. We'll go in order. ESPN saying that the Gator Bowl is our projection to play either the Iowa Hawkeyes or Illinois.
I won the Gator Bowl again, yes!
And Lovie Smith. I was there, man.
I want another Iowa player to completely spaz out on a kickoff return, walk out of bounds, and then just throw the ball back into play.
I think that would happen. I totally do.
Lovie Smith playing Santa. Interesting. Because he is Santa right now.
He is, man. Beard is the best in the game.
It's
right
fantastic.
Now.
He doesn't need no Just for Men. He's letting the Silver Fox thing go.
Let
man.
It go, man. Let it grow.
Good for Lovey in Illinois. That would be an interesting matchup.
247, Justin, you're going to love this. 247 has us going to Jacksonville as well,
ooh,
playing Michigan.
Ooh. That's spicy.
That would be fire. I would get tickets right now.
If you thought Michigan fans were already trying to be out on Harbaugh,
boy,
you ain't seen nothing yet till he loses the Gator Bowl to Tennessee.
Boy.
A Tennessee team who lost to Georgia State. Woo!
Sporting news is changing things up a little bit. They have us in the Liberty Bowl taking on, drumroll,
the hometown team.
UT, the other one, talking about Texas.
Ah.
That would be crazy, ooh, if they were so bad enough to make it to the Liberty
They
Bowl.
Have them sliding quite a bit. And then the last one, CBS, has us going to the Liberty Bowl as well, but playing Texas Christian. So we have some interesting matchups here if Tennessee does their part.
Give me Liberty Bowl versus Texas. I've wanted to beat their ass in football so bad.
The streets need it. The streets need it.
We will claim that real UT for real, 100%.
Oh, for real, for real. But that Michigan matchup for recruiting, that looks too good
to
me.
That would be incredible. To beat Michigan, I mean, it would just be like the nail in Harbaugh's coffin.
He'd be out of here. He would be out of there.
What would feel better, beating Michigan or beating Texas?
To me,
I know what Justin's going to say.
But probably as far as like who's the real UT type of chatter goes, probably Texas.
I got to go Texas. But I can just imagine Jeremy Pruitt having to shake hands with Jim Harbaugh after whooping his ass.
Boy, I love it. I live for it. I live for
Thank
this.
Thank you very much for
what's
Albert
the least
Solomon.
Intriguing one? I think Illinois is easily the least intriguing one.
It would be a guaranteed dub, though, so I'm not going to.
I wouldn't go that far, but.
Hey, who'd they beat?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
I don't want to play Illinois, to be honest, because I think they would act like it's a Super
I'd almost
Bowl.
Rather play Iowa again. I just feel anytime we play Iowa in any sport, we're going to beat them.
Same. So give me Iowa, but yeah, Memphis. Michigan is what I want, for sure.
Bowl predictions. Who would have thought a month ago?
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Just finish the fight. Just finish the damn fight,
right,
please.
Right.
For the love of God. You're in the same place you were last time. Last year. Don't do it. Don't do it again. Cannot take it anymore. Mm-hmm. Hour one is in the books for overtime. We have hour two coming up on the other side. One more hour of the show. 865-546-8200 is your number to hop on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Back more overtime after this.